This is Tamara reading the Decatur Herald and Review. It's Wednesday, October 1st. Let's start with the front page. We have a column on the Decatur Police by Donette Beckett in Decatur. Cops and Good Conversation. We have a photo of Gregory Green, president of the Lincoln Park Neighborhood Association, talking to Deputy Chief Eric Ethel during the Coffee with a Cop event at the West El Dorado Street McDonald's in Decatur on Tuesday, September 30th. There are a lot of things going on in the community that it takes everyone working as one to come up with solutions, said Green. Officers spark meaningful conversations over coffee. Decatur resident Kathy Stanford wanted to meet with Decatur Police Department officers. However, she didn't have a complaint. I have to say, I never knew any cops, she said. On Tuesday, Stanford and other community members were invited to meet with several officers during the latest Coffee with a Cop at the McDonald's restaurant on West El Dorado Street. Although she considers her neighborhood safe, Stanford is aware of city crime. I thought maybe I'd learn something if I came here, she said. I had a good conversation. One of Stanford's concerns addressed mental health incidents. As a volunteer with the Alzheimer's Association, senior citizens are her focus. They were able to explain that, she said, about her interaction with the police. It feels good at least getting a baseline, having come to an event like this. According to the restaurant owners, several customers visit the McDonald's restaurants during the Coffee with a Cop events. It gives a great opportunity for customers and the police to engage, said Andrew Birschbach, owner of the Westside McDonald's restaurant. Birschbach noted Decatur's West Side has seen a rash of crime in the recent past. So we want to provide an easy way to have dialogue for them, he said. It's always good to build up a repertoire with the local police department and show them support. Coffee and McMuffins weren't the only items available for customers. Doorbell Ring cameras were also handed out to Decatur residents. The Coalition of Neighborhood Organizations, or CONO, provided the free cameras. To receive a doorbell camera, the resident must have Wi-Fi and internet access and register the camera with the police department. The cameras are just another tool for officers to work with the community, said Decatur Police Chief Brad Allen. People will have their homes better secured, he said. We have a photo of resident Kathy Stanford chatting during the Coffee with a Cop event on Tuesday, September 30th. The cameras will be used in cooperation with the Decatur Police Department's registration system. That way, if we have an incident in a particular area, we can go to our registration and see who has cameras, Allen said. Then we can reach out to those folks and ask them to share videos with us. The videos cannot be accessed without permission, Allen said. We can't tap in, and people can refuse us access to their system, he said. Approximately 25 officers visited the restaurant during the two-hour event. According to Allen, officers have been inviting the public to Coffee with a Cop for more than 10 years. From the participation from both the community and the police, it's a good event to get out and chat with people, he said. Gregory Green, Lincoln Park Neighborhood Association president, visited the Coffee with a Cop event in hopes of connecting the youth in his Southside neighborhood with the restaurant as well as building a relationship with the local police. Whether it's neighborhood revitalization, cleaning up the neighborhoods, protecting against the crime element, it takes everybody that's here to make this happen, even when we're providing employment opportunities for the youth, he said. Although Lincoln Park is Green's focus, he wants the rest of Decatur to benefit from the CONO partnership with local businesses and positive police relationships. I would like to see everybody in this room that are stakeholders work as a community in doing that, he said. Now some local events. Harvest Festival happening October 3rd through 5th, Decatur. This year's Harvest Festival will be held October 3rd through 5th at the Macon County Fairgrounds. Admission is $10 for ages 12 and older, $5 for ages 5 through 11 years, and children 4 and under are free. Carnival tickets are $25 for a wristband, $30 for all-day wristbands on Saturday, or $1.25 per ticket. Hours for the festival are 5 to 10 p.m. Friday, 1 to 10 p.m. Saturday, and 1 to 6 Sunday. The event will have the carnival, shopping vendors, demolition derby, food trucks, and a haunted hayride. A kids' barn area has been added with activities dedicated to children, including grain cart basketball, bouncing balls, pumpkin bowling, and more. For more information, visit the Macon County Fairgrounds website. Library to host History Escape Room, Decatur. Registration is open for the Decatur Public Library's 150th anniversary escape room experience. Hour-long time slots are available from Thursday, October 16th through Saturday, October 18th at the library, 130 North Franklin Street. Sessions begin every 15 minutes. The groups have an hour to complete their journey. All ages are invited to participate. Presented by Live History, an award-nominated theater company that specializes in bringing local history to life, the escape room experience is centered around Decatur and the story of the public library. To register or for more information, visit the Decatur Public Library website events page. Central Park event to recognize Decatur Sister City. The Decatur Sister Cities Committee will be honoring the 50th anniversary of Decatur's sister city relationship with Sevetal, Germany, during a special event at 1:30 p.m. Friday, October 3rd in Central Park. This public event will feature a visit from 22 guests from Sevetal. They will participate in a ribbon-cutting ceremony at the recently dedicated sculpture honoring Decatur's sister city partnerships with Tokorozawa, Japan, and Sevetal, Germany. This sculpture reflects the enduring friendship and shared history between Decatur and its sister cities, and we're excited to celebrate this milestone with our German guests, said Kathy Sorensen of the Decatur Sister Cities Committee. Local by the Lake fundraiser set for October 3rd, Decatur. The Empowerment Opportunity Center will host its annual Local by the Lake fundraiser, 5:30 to 8 p.m. Friday, October 3rd at the Beach House. The event will include pairing stations featuring Central Illinois farm fresh ingredients, breweries, and wineries. There will be live acoustic music by Fun with Bick and Jane. Tickets are $50 each or $80 per couple and available at empowerdecatur.org. From our food page today, we have Fresh and Frugal. Marinated pork tenderloin stars in this budget weeknight meal. We have recipes for the marinated pork tenderloin in teriyaki lettuce wraps, cucumber, pepper, and red onion salad, and chocolate, almond, and orange emergency cookies. The smartest way to shop if you're looking to pinch pennies is often with a menu and a list of specific ingredients in mind before you head to the store. But for flexible home cooks who don't mind changing course on a dime, there's a lot of value in taking advantage of something you unexpectedly find on sale. I'd planned on making some sort of a pasta dish when I set out for my local grocery, but a red sale sticker caught my eye in the meat department, and being a thrifty shopper, I reconsidered. I don't eat a lot of meat in general, and when I do, it's almost always chicken, preferably thighs, or ground beef or pork. But there it was, a $1.15 a pound pork tenderloin roast with a $3 off sign on it, bringing the price down to a very reasonable $5.99. Knowing I could easily get four servings out of the narrow, boneless cut of meat, I threw it into my cart along with colorful bell peppers that also happened to be on sale, and quickly rejiggered that night's meal. What I came up with was pork tenderloin lettuce wraps, a dish that not only comes together quickly, but when paired with an array of good-for-you veggies, it's also fairly local and rich in ingredients. Another reason I chose to make wraps? The meat that is tucked inside a piece of lettuce or flatbread is chopped into bite-sized pieces and combined with other ingredients, which means it goes a lot further in a dish. And since pork tenderloin is so lean, it's easy to overcook it. A good marinade solves that problem by helping the meat retain moisture during cooking and keeping it tender. I chose a honey garlic teriyaki, which helped keep the price of the meal down because I didn't have to make the mixture from scratch. To start the meal off on a fresh note, I plucked a juicy red pepper from the bag, cut it into slices, and made it into a lightly dressed salad with cucumber, red onion, and fresh cilantro, which cost $2.67, $1.34 per person. Total cost for this nutritious meal that also provided generous leftovers for lunch the next day, $14.98, or 2 cents under budget. Now from our opinion page, history buff. Trump wrong to gloss over nation struggles, from Sidney Shapiro and Joseph Tomain. Shapiro is chair of administrative law at Wake Forest University School of Law. Tomain is the Dean Emeritus of Law at the University of Cincinnati College of Law. They wrote this for InsideSources.com. On the eve of the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the Trump administration is rewriting history through censorship and erasure. At the National Park Service site honoring Charles Pinckney, who wrote a draft of the U.S. Constitution, for example, references to enslaved people are being scrubbed. As another example, the administration faulted an exhibit about Benjamin Franklin's scientific achievements because it also mentions Franklin's ownership of enslaved people. History and tradition make us aware of who we are and what we are becoming. Because historians debate American history by offering new facts or reinterpretations of old ones, new names enter the pantheon of American heroes. An older list of great Americans would include George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and Abraham Lincoln. We now recognize Cesar Chavez, Frederick Douglass, W.E.B. Du Bois, and Martin Luther King Jr. as prominent Americans. So, too, we now know of and respect the contributions of Abigail Adams, Clara Barton, Rachel Carson, Rosa Parks, and Ida Tarbell. These leaders exemplify an American spirit and connect us with our origins. But the extensive list of American heroes and heroines, along with their flaws and accomplishments, may not be widely known except for historians' commitments to their craft. The Smithsonian Institution, often referred to as our nation's attic because it holds our collective memories, is a target. President Donald Trump has issued an executive order requiring a review of exhibits, and he has identified a specific exhibits he does not like, most of which are exhibits about racial minorities and LGBTQ plus history. Further, the administration wants the Smithsonian to downplay the evils of slavery and eliminate references to Trump's two impeachments. These actions are done in the name of restoring American greatness and silencing corrosive ideology. Other executive orders are directed at investigating disfavored educational programs, such as those addressing diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. They are to be replaced with patriotic education by reviving the discredited 1776 Project, which whitewashes the country's founding by disregarding what historians have taught us about the flaws and accomplishments of America's founding fathers. The administration is not alone in restricting areas of critical inquiry. More than 30 states have passed or introduced anti-DEI and LGBTQ plus laws. Additionally, states have banned thousands of books. Conservatives complain about woke progressives. Though the term is used as a catch-all critique of liberalism, it has a precise definition that originated in the racial justice movements in the early to mid-1900s. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a person is woke politically if that individual is educated about and conscious of racial equality and social justice. The remedy for perceived complaints about wokeism is not government censorship, but popular debate. Censorship occurs when the government takes sides in these debates by law or funding decisions. The framers of the Constitution were aware of the dangers of government censorship to the country's democratic health. The First Amendment provides that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Whether or not the censorship by the federal and state governments is a constitutional violation, these acts strike at the heart of the framers' vision of the country as an ongoing debate over the nation's values and how to achieve them. History informs that debate, but only if the government does not censor what can be taught, written, and presented in museums. History can teach us about the evolving understanding of equality, liberty, and fairness, and the public interest, but only if the government does not fire or threaten to fire the teachers, researchers, and administrators who present views that elected officials do not like. We'll read the second half of the opinion page in part two. Please continue listening. Now from local and national news. From Chicago Associated Press, Jeff McMurray. DOT pulls grants hostile to cars. President Donald Trump's Transportation Department pulled back grants already announced for recreational trails and bicycle lanes, telling local officials their projects failed to promote road capacity or are hostile to motor vehicles. The department recently sent letters to local governments in at least six states, Alabama, California, Connecticut, Illinois, Massachusetts, and New Mexico, informing them it would withdraw money awarded under the $1.1 trillion infrastructure law former President Joe Biden signed in 2021. The reversals are among the clearest signals yet of the drastic shift from the Biden administration's emphasis on alternative transportation, such as transit and biking, to the Trump administration's focus on preserving and expanding lanes for cars and trucks. While the new grants Trump's Transportation Department announced this year reflect that change, it's practically unprecedented for an administration to claw back grants awarded by a predecessor without a compelling reason such as potential environmental harms. However, the latest recalled projects didn't have fully funded grant agreements in place, which would have made reversing them far trickier. The Transportation Department's press office didn't respond to emails requesting comment. Connecticut won a $5.7 million federal grant last summer to help design segments of a 44-mile recreational trail connecting several communities along the Naugatuck River. Rick Dunn, executive director of the Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments, said the grant's final details were being negotiated when the U.S. Department of Transportation sent a letter informing local officials that the project wouldn't move forward. The agency wants multimodal grant programs to focus on projects that promote vehicular travel, the letter explained. They're defining quality of life for Americans as enhancing automobile operations, Dunn said. The same reason was given in a letter sent to Albuquerque, New Mexico, pulling $11.5 million in funding for a leg of a rail trail cutting through the city's core. It was among the first active transportation projects awarded under the infrastructure law, with funding announced in 22, but it was still going through the approval process. We are going to stand up for Albuquerque and prevent the Trump administration from pulling money from a project the people of Albuquerque want, Mayor Tim Keller said in a news release. We will see you in court. Kevin Mills, Vice President of Policy for the Rails to Trails Conservancy, called the cuts an affront to the priorities set by Congress and Americans' demands for safer, more convenient walking and biking routes. From Tony Reed in Decatur, driver faces drug charges. When a police patrol pulled over a vehicle in Decatur late Friday night and found a loaded gun inside and enough crack cocaine and methamphetamine to suggest a drug dealer's inventory, the driver and passenger immediately began trying to shift the blame to each other. A sworn affidavit filed by the Decatur Police Department said the 40-year-old driver admitted he used meth and crack, but denied the gun belonged to him. And he said the 11.9 grams of crack and meth found inside a white jewelry box in the vehicle belonged to the 64-year-old passenger. The passenger, meanwhile, said everything in the vehicle belonged to the driver, according to the affidavit. He denied possession of the firearm and the suspected narcotics inside the vehicle. Officer Paul Vickers, who signed the affidavit, said police records showed the driver had been arrested September 9th for dealing drugs, and his criminal history showed a conviction out of Florida in 2021 for possession of meth and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. And he was the one who ended up getting charged this time, booked on charges of armed violence, possession of a gun by a felon, drug dealing, the aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, and driving while revoked. He remains jailed pending court hearings. From Quantico, Virginia, Associated Press, Ben Finley, Constantine Toropin, and Evan Vucci. Woke military command targeted. Hegseth orders review of rules on bullying, calls diversity push insane. President Donald Trump revealed that he wants to use American cities as training grounds for the armed forces and joined Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth on Tuesday in declaring an end to woke culture, before an unusual gathering of hundreds of the top U.S. military officials who were abruptly summoned to Virginia from around the world. Hegseth announced new directives for troops that include gender-neutral or male-level standards for physical fitness. While Trump bragged about U.S. nuclear capabilities and warned that America is under invasion from within. After spending trillions of dollars defending the borders of foreign countries, with your help, we're defending the borders of our country, Trump said. Hegseth had called military leaders to the Marine Corps base in Quantico near Washington without publicly revealing the reason until this morning. His address largely focused on his own long-used talking points that painted a picture of a military that has been hamstrung by woke policies. And he said military leaders should do the honorable thing and resign if they don't like his new approach. Meetings between top military brass and civilian leaders are nothing new, but the gathering had fueled intense speculation about the summit's purpose, given the haste with which it was called and the mystery surrounding it. Admirals and generals from conflict zones in the Middle East and elsewhere were summoned for a lecture on race and gender in the military, underscoring the extent to which the country's culture wars have emerged as a front-and-center agenda item for Hegseth's Pentagon, even at a time of broad national security concerns across the globe. Trump is used to boisterous crowds of supporters who laugh at his jokes and applaud his boasts during his speeches, but he wasn't getting that kind of soundtrack from the generals and admirals in attendance. In keeping with the nonpartisan tradition of the armed services, the military leaders sat mostly stone-faced through Trump's politicized remarks, a contrast from when rank-and-file soldiers cheered during Trump's speech at Fort Bragg this summer. During his nearly hour-long speech, Hegseth said the U.S. military has promoted too many leaders for the wrong reasons based on race, gender quotas, and historic firsts. The era of politically correct, overly sensitive, don't hurt anyone's feelings leadership ends right now at every level, Hegseth said. That was echoed by Trump, who said, "The purposes of American military is not to protect anyone's feelings. It's to protect our republic." "We will not be politically correct when it comes to defending American freedom," Trump said, "and we will be fighting and winning machine." Hegseth said he is loosening disciplinary rules and weakening hazing protections, putting a heavy focus on removing many of the guardrails the military had put in place after numerous scandals and investigations. He said he was ordering a review of the department's definitions of so-called toxic leadership, bullying, and hazing to empower leaders to enforce standards without fear of retribution or second-guessing. The defense secretary called for changes to the retention of adverse information on personnel records that will allow leaders with forgivable, earnest, or minor infractions to not be encumbered by those infractions in perpetuity. "People make honest mistakes, and our mistakes should not define an entire career," Hegseth said. "Otherwise, we only try not to make mistakes." Bullying and toxic leadership has been the suspected and confirmed cause behind numerous military suicides over the past several years, including the very dramatic suicide of Brandon Caserta, a young sailor who was bullied into killing himself in 2018. A Navy investigation found that Caserta's supervisor noted belligerence, vulgarity, and brash leadership was likely a significant contributing factor in the sailor's decision to end his own life. Hegseth used the platform to slam environmental policies and transgender troops while talking up his and Trump's focus on the warrior ethos and peace through strength. Hegseth said the department has been told from previous administrations that our diversity is our strength, which he called an insane fallacy. They had to put out dizzying DEI and LGBTQE plus statements. They were told females and males are the same thing, or that males who think they're females is totally normal, he said, adding the use of electric tanks and the COVID machine requirements to the list as mistaken policies. Hegseth said this is not about preventing women from serving, but when it comes to any job that requires physical power to perform in combat, those physical standards must be high and gender neutral, he said. If women can make it, excellent. If not, it is what it is. If that means no women qualify for some combat jobs, so be it. That is not the intent, but it could be the result. Hegseth's speech came as the country faces a potential government shutdown this week. And as Hegseth, who has hammered home a focus on lethality, has taken several unusual and unexplained actions, including ordering cuts to the number of general officers and firings of other top military leaders. Hegseth has championed the military's role in securing the U.S.-Mexico border, deploying to American cities as part of Trump's law enforcement surges, and carrying out strikes on boats in the Caribbean that the administration says targeted drug traffickers. And now some hints from Heloise. Dear Heloise, I'm a retired senior citizen who became a widower about 5 years ago. It didn't take me long to realize that I was a complete novice around the house, especially in the kitchen. Then I recalled that my wife often mentioned hints from your column, and this led to my becoming an avid fan of yours. I have used many of the hints you've published, and most were a godsend, with very few being less than expected. On rare occasions, there have been hints you have published that in my mind seem slightly unusual. This leads me to ask if you or your staff research, validate, or test the hints that you publish. Please understand that this is not a complaint, but rather just a question out of curiosity. Please keep your hints coming. Tom in Los Angeles. Tom, we research a great many answers, and we even cook some of the recipes that people have sent in. There are oftentimes a great number of answers to various questions, such as how to get rid of cockroaches or how to remove certain stains. I've published several books on household hints, cooking, and many other questions from readers, some of which go back as far as the 1950s. From all of us here at Heloise Central, thank you for being an avid reader. Dear Heloise, my hint is regarding weak and split layering fingernails. I tried so many products to help with this situation, some being very expensive. The solution that really works is simple: olive oil. I put a few drops on my nails as often as I can after they have been in water, rubbing it around my nails and getting it under the nails. After a few weeks, my nails became strong and healthy without splitting. Lorraine via email. Emergency calls. Dear Heloise, I have seen several hints regarding cell phone calls in your column lately. Readers note that they set their smartphones to silently notify them if a call comes in from a number that isn't in their contact list. They are assuming that if it's important, the caller will leave a voicemail. My concern with this train of thought is that if it is an emergency call from a family member or friend, they could be calling from a phone that isn't in your contact list. If the call is silenced, you won't hear the notification right away. Hopefully, you have voicemail notifications that are audible. I would be devastated if I missed an emergency call from someone important to me. I don't answer calls that aren't in my contact list, but I do hear the call coming in and watch to see if voicemail is left. This way, there's no delay in me getting an emergency message. MEG in Houghton, Michigan. Cleaning plants. Dear Heloise, my mother always had the most beautiful indoor plants I've ever seen. I asked her how she made the leaves on her plants look so shiny and nice. She said she took warm milk and a cotton ball to clean each leaf, then patted each leaf dry. She also warned me about overwatering my indoor plants. She watered hers about once a week. Enid in San Antonio. Today in history. On this date in 1890, Yosemite National Park was established by the U.S. Congress. In 1903, the first modern baseball World Series began, with the National League's Pittsburgh Pirates defeating the American League's Boston Americans in Game 1. Boston would ultimately win the series 5-3. In 1908, Henry Ford introduced his mass-produced Model T automobile to the market. Between 1908 and 1927, Ford would build more than 15 million Model T cars. In 1910, the offices of the Los Angeles Times were destroyed by a dynamite explosion and fire, killing 21 employees. Union activist J.B. McNamara eventually pleaded guilty and was sentenced to life in prison for the bombing. In 1949, Mao Zedong, leader of the Communist People's Liberation Army, proclaimed the People's Republic of China during a ceremony in Beijing. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Wednesday, October 1st. Please stay tuned.